I kind of wish now that I could conduct my entire life like a Eurovision Song Contest host.
Okay.
J'espère que je peux conduire. I want to be able to sort of say everything in about three different languages, one after the other. I don't know, for some reason, I think it makes me sound cool.
Right, because you can speak many languages, you mean?
Yeah, I just think it makes me sound official. It makes me sound like I'm maybe making an announcement to some sort of public transport network. I like it, and I've been inspired by what I've been seeing today at the Junior Eurovision Song Contest, which is what this episode of Nul Poix is all about. And just before we welcome you to it, Cress, can you do this, please? Can you make this noise? Wicka, 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 wicka.
Waka 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 waka.
I knew that DJ charity set that you'd done was going to be good.
Thank you.
Welcome to Nul Poix.
Nul Poix is shameful.
Nul Poix is lack of respect for Euros.
It's the ultimate humiliation.
The shame that they must be feeling.
Nul Poix is no fun.
Yes, thank you, Martin. I mean, I actually was mixing stuff properly rather than doing that, but thank you.
Wicca,
yeah, thanks. That's nice that's
Cress
what
on
you
the decks.
No,
yep, Cress on the decks, that's it. But yes, this episode is all about Junior Eurovision, and this podcast is all about Eurovision. I'm Laura, that is Martin. We love Eurovision, we don't know all about it, but we're trying to learn. And this episode, as I say, is all about Junior Eurovision because we've just had the results.
We have.
What a contest it was.
Yeah, really, really enjoyable. First time, actually, and I don't know whether I should be quieted admitting this, but I'm going to admit it. It's the first time I probably sat down and watched from beginning to end the Junior Eurovision Song Contest. Haven't really done it before. I've always been aware of it, but only just sort of vaguely picked up on who's won. Watched it. Really enjoyed it. I had an absolutely great time.
I don't think you should be ashamed of that, because it's, you know, it's a very different contest. I can understand why a lot of people don't watch it, so it makes sense. I wouldn't say like it's, you know, if it was the same contest, then fair enough. But you know, it's a younger audience, obviously. It's a very different kind of category. So I wouldn't feel ashamed for admitting. But it's good that you did watch it, and I watched this for the first time this year, and I agree. I did really enjoy it. There was a lot to love about it.
Congratulations, then, we should say to 14-year-old Milena of Armenia, who was crowned the winner a little bit earlier on today as we record this. Kwame Kwame was the name of
possibly
the song, and
sorry for that
perhaps
wrong. Apologies.
Yeah, let's let Milena sing it. This is this is her song. Really great song, brilliant.
I mean, I picked as one of my ones to watch, didn't I?
You
that
did.
And Poland, yep. And they were first and second, and you can see why. Because, I mean, shout out to Poland, because that equally was a great song. But I think there was just something about the kind of Euro popness maybe of Armenia that kind of swung it for them. Both really great songs. Either of them, I thought, were deserved winners.
Yeah, what I really like about Milena, and what I think she'll go far because of this, it's her like sort of real moodiness. She's like a proper kind of teenager with a bit of attitude, isn't she?
You were messaging me being like, she reminded you of Loreen, and I could see that.
Yeah, she so does remind me of Loreen. I don't know what it is about. I think there's a certain free-spirited nature to her. Like, I can definitely imagine her on that stage in bare feet.
Yes, I get that as well.
Hey, I'm just wearing some wavy clothes and I'm walking around bare feet and I'm loving it. And I definitely got that vibe from her. And what did you make of the overall thing then? Because as we were saying, this is the first time that you and I have actually watched it properly. And what did you make of it?
I mean, it's very much like a normal Eurovision, really, except a lot of the hosts are a lot younger. I mean, you and I think both loved the results part of it because it was just young it was young children giving the results, and everyone was so enthusiastic. It was being like, hello, brilliant, everybody.
Yeah, it was. And it was just so like,
oh, this is
great. It was so good. I think there was one point, I think it was the representative from Kazakhstan. Yeah.
I just sort of. And we both knew it.
I was just sort of pulled back in my chair. Like, whoa, there she goes.
But like, they're all just lovely and cute. And that is the great thing about Junior Eurovision. The entrance, everyone taking part. That everyone really wants to be there and really wants to show their thing and is really enthusiastic. And you know, it's just lovely to see that, really.
Speaking of the voting then, that I think, even though obviously the song and the music was brilliant, I think that was my favourite part, was the bit where they give the votes. Because rather than going round the whole of Europe, it went to representatives, child representatives of each country in the studio. So you didn't have any of that odd, awkward, technical... Yeah, exactly. None of that. But they were all given an envelope, and you could see to begin with, they'd sealed the envelope shut, and the poor kids couldn't get them open.
Oh, you know,
it's like they needed someone give them a letter opener. So by about the sixth one, they'd clearly pre-opened the envelope. So that they could do it. I thought that was absolutely lovely. I was so blown away by the standard of English of the children involved, but also the hosts. Yeah,
the presenters.
I mean, the adult presenters. Yeah, great, fine. You'd expect them to be good.
I've forgotten her name now. The girl,
Carla.
Carla. Yes.
I think she's what, 15, 16? She was a
speaking
host.
French.
She was genuinely better than the adults.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah. Absolutely fantastic. Blown away by her ability to... And she had the hardest job. She, considering she doesn't speak English as a first language, she's there having to converse with the other kids. And let's be honest, you and I have interviewed kids before. They're not the best to interview because sometimes they just give one-word answers.
Yeah.
And another child had to do that in a language that wasn't her own. I was just in awe.
Well done to Carla.
Absolutely.
MVP Carla.
Absolutely fantastic. So I just thought it was nice. The whole thing was really cute. I loved... I knew I poo-pooed this to begin with. I'm now fully on board with the fact that it was at Christmas time. That added something, didn't it?
Yeah, maybe it did.
And you know, the kids and singing, and it's like cute and wintry, and that worked.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. The only issue is I think they probably wish Junior Eurovision wasn't in the winter, because that seems to be when COVID is at its worst. So they were very lucky, though, that no one was ill. Everyone was able to, you know, perform as they wanted to. So that was great as well. It was great to see everyone, you know, able to do their live performance.
Who stood out to you in particular then, other than the winning entry?
Well, Poland. I really wanted Poland to win. I loved the bit. There was a moment with Sarah where she was like... you could see she sort of relaxed into it, and she was kind of getting the audience to like sing along with her. And I was like, that is, you know, that's a reflection of a really strong performer, someone who's able, like she's willing, she's able to sing, but she's getting the audience involved. You know, she was like just really like comfortable in her performance, and I was like, I hope this doesn't dishearten her. She was still second. I hope she like continues to go, because I thought she was great. I really hope she continues, because I loved Poland's song. To be honest, it was my fave. I preferred it over Armenia's, but Armenia was a close second.
I feel a little bit sorry for France, who were doing
so well. I know. I just say, can we talk about this? And maybe we'll talk about this with Maxi as well, who we're going to chat with, our guest that's coming up. But I felt a bit sorry for France, because the public clearly love France, and it may be because France were hosting Eurovision that year, so you know, everyone always gives some points to the host. But I, you know, it was a decent song that they had.
You know,
good singer, that was great. And also maybe people thought, well, they've hosted very well this year, they should probably host again. And as you were saying, Martin, maybe like French people around the world voting, you know, if you know your host nation is hosting it, you're probably more likely to tune in everywhere you are and vote. But I thought was really difficult, and I don't know if they should do this, and we discussed this whole thing of like the jurors' votes and seeing how many points they've got and holding it out at the end, which they do for the adult Eurovision. But should they be doing this for the child Eurovision?
Yeah, and you and I were texting about this, weren't we, as it was happening. Something
it seems cruel.
It, Yeah, I felt uncomfortable watching that bit. Now, I have to put my cards on the table and say that I don't like that system anyway. The system around the whole of Europe.
But I thought for the kids it was especially worse, and especially for France, because they would have known that France, obviously, were way off the mark. It was between France and Armenia had just been given all these votes, and then they were saying, well, France needs this amount. And then they were kind of doing this thing of, let's check again. How much does France need? And it's like, it's a child, you know, like you're doing this
with
a child.
They're kids.
And then France was so, it's like, it's not that France were even that close. They needed something like 120 points and they had like 67. Yeah. And then they just announced it like 67. And then that's awful because they're filming those children and you can see the disappointment in their faces.
Yeah, and that's not fair. That isn't fair to do that to children.
I just think it's too much, you know?
Yeah.
It's harsh enough on an adult.
It's different when you're going round the jury and you're getting the results from the jury because they only focus upon the one that gets 12. So they're going to be happy. And
also,
that's good.
What I thought was great, I was really glad that every country got loads of like votes. It wasn't like, oh, you know, there was a couple, you know, like you do in the main Eurovision where mainly the big five, you know, a lot of them don't get the votes. I was glad. I was like, oh, that's great. You know, everyone's getting some stuff so everyone can feel pleased that they've got some. But then you get to this jurors thing and it's just kind of, you know, they're being filmed, they're being intensively filmed and they're going, oh, well, you need this amount or you only got this. You know, it was the same thing as, you know, do you remember that memeable time with John Ludvig for Sweden where they were going, he needs this amount. And then they were like, he's got this amount. And you could see his face drop.
Yeah. I mean, great entertainment. And for the adult competition, less bad. But don't do it for children. Don't do that with kids. That is not fair to put them through that. It should just be a celebration of their efforts.
You could even see how much it meant to Armenia because she could barely sing on stage when she won. She was crying so much. It's a lot to go through for a young child, that. And just a lot of pressure. And bless her. You know, you could see how much it meant to her.
Let's get a bit more on this now because we want a second opinion and it's time to bring on our guest.
And, you know, who else could we bring on when we wanted to talk Junior Eurovision but Maxi Rainbow, the self-styled queen of Eurovision and very much an expert on Junior Eurovision as well. Hello, Maxi.
Hi, thank you so much for having me once again.
Thank you so much for being on again. We love having you on so, so much. So Junior Eurovision has literally just happened. And I guess, first of all, your reaction to the whole event.
Overall, I was crying, sobbing. I don't know why I got so emotional. Typically, I don't have such an emotional response when it comes to Junior Eurovision. However, for whatever reason, I felt really like emotionally connected. First of all, for France with hosting, they did an amazing job.
They did.
I feel like this was the one year there were no problems. Yeah. Everything went so smoothly, especially
apart from
with,
the envelopes.
You know,
did you see the envelopes?
Well, right. They set my girl Sandra Gadelia up from Georgia. She was sitting there for a whole minute struggling. Yeah, other than that, there was like no problems, no bumps. It was like perfection. So I got to give it up to them. And I was really happy with the results overall, especially like the top three. That would have been my top three. I mean,
totally.
It was like perfect to me.
Yeah, I mean, we've just been talking about Milena and how... Does she remind you of Loreen?
Yeah, definitely. Even just her visuals, the long brown hair, the long like wavy hair, and kind of like a similar style. It's kind of that atmospheric, like haunting kind of what I love from Loreen. And that's honestly why I really like resonated with Milena, is because I love that style of music. I mean, even like when Ukraine did it a few years ago with Say Love, that like kind of darker elements, I love that kind of music. And so it like really spoke to me. And yeah, I totally see the similarities with Loreen. And who knows, maybe she'll go to Eurovision and take that crown too, just like Loreen.
And I love to see how much it meant to everybody. You know, you could see, you know, the winner, she you know, Milena, she was crying, she could barely speak on stage, but everybody. And it kind of did make us think, and we were discussing this a little bit before, is it a bit cruel to have this kind of jurors voting, because I thought it was a bit cruel on France to held them to that end, and then they were nowhere near. You know, it was Armenia versus France, and France needed about, I don't know, it was about 102 votes or something to compete with Armenia, and then they had 68 or something. I was a bit like, should we be doing this for children? I don't know what you think when it comes to this. Obviously, it's an entertainment show, so that's, they need to bring that kind of star to it. But what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that there's something weird about whenever you're working with kids, and kind of like when they're adults, the anticipation, kind of playing with their emotions a little bit. That's kind of the fun of a competition show in some ways. That's like a lot of the entertainment. However, there's kind of like an ethical dilemma when it comes to kids. It's like, you know, you want that entertainment, but also, I don't know, I don't want to see a kid sad. Like, that doesn't make me happy. That's not entertaining. Maybe seeing an adult sad, that's a different story. But with a kid, I think it'd be interesting if maybe, I mean, if they combine the results, the televote to me is more important. I mean, even though they're 50-50, the televote represents thousands and thousands of people voting for you. The jury's it's four almost, or five people.
Maxie, it's almost like they don't want to draw attention to which countries are voting for who in the televote, isn't it? So they can sort of disguise the political voting. Conspiracy! Yeah.
Although I will say that it didn't change in the jury voting. I mean,
no,
pretty much there were there were so many countries. I mean, there's like, oh, Kazakhstan voted for Russia. Russia voted for Kazakhstan. Yeah. I know Kazakhstan did not deserve those 12 points. It's always surprising with jury results, because I'm like, you're supposed to be the impartial people, but we all know that that doesn't always happen.
Although I have to say, at this point, we have had this discussion with people in the past who pointed out that actually in some cases, you know, people in Russia might be more in tune with the music of people in Kazakhstan because they share a culture, and there's similar things and reasons that they might vote for. Anyway, let's not get into that.
No, that's fair enough. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit more about the competition, because you've been following it for a very long time since, you know, all the rehearsals have been going on and all the songs have been announced. What have you made then of the journey that some of these children and the songs and the entries have been on?
What I think is interesting is, especially with this year and the staging and everything like that, I feel like a lot of these entries really came alive once they actually hit that live atmosphere. And I think that especially for me, I mean, I think for everybody, Portugal was one of those countries that I think everybody was not expecting them to do as well as they did. And then when, I mean, even me, I was not the biggest fan of the song, but when I saw it live, I could not deny how magical that was. And there were a lot of entries like that that I felt like really came alive in the live atmosphere. I feel like Italy, I know they didn't get like the best result, but I felt like Italy was just insane. Her energy and everything.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of really, really talented kids this year that just, I mean, every time I watch that, I mean, as a drag queen, if I go out and perform, I'm so nervous. And I could never imagine having that kind of level of confidence in front of that many people, especially at that age. Leading up through the rehearsals, I was really nervous about some entries, like especially Armenia, because I started seeing a lot of people make comments about people's vocals and stuff. And that's always what happens every single year, is there's a couple entries that when you hear them live, maybe they don't sound like the studio version. So people are immediately cut to, oh, their vocals are atrocious. And that's what I was seeing all over the place. Oh, there goes their win. And I was like, when I finally listened to it and saw the full performance, I was like, she sounds perfectly fine. I mean, like, I don't know what people are talking about. I feel like a part of that also like affects also my way that I'm like watching and reacting to them, because that gets into my head. I'm like, oh, people who are seeing like the press and stuff, who get to see the full thing, they have all these things to say. And then you're like, oh, maybe that's true. But I don't know.
What I'm glad about is that everyone got to perform and it wasn't judged on, because obviously if people are going to be ill, they said, you know, they would judge it off a music video, which would be so more confusing to judge, I think.
I was so concerned about that whenever I saw that, because I was like, number one, that's totally unfair, because everybody has different resources. People have different budgets. I mean, I think everybody this year got a music video, which maybe that's the reason why, but some years people don't get music videos and stuff. I was really concerned about that because it's just, it makes it so unfair. And
well,
at the end of the day,
it's meant to be a live singing contest, isn't it? And so if you're going, well, here are all these people doing live singing contests with all everything that goes into that and the nerves and how your performance might be affected by different factors. Oh, but this one can't. So here's a video where they've been like studio auto-tuned and they're going to sound amazing and they've rehearsed it 500 million times. You can't compare the two.
Yeah, it's not the same at all.
And then it might hurt them because I felt like going back to Eurovision when there was one contestant that didn't get to actually go to the live show and like actually perform with everybody, I was seeing a lot of negative criticism to Montaigne for Australia because they were like, oh, is this even live? You get to, why did this person, like it was almost like an unfair advantage. So I couldn't imagine that happening with Junior Eurovision, especially if it was just music videos. I mean, at least Montaigne got to perform actually live. I mean, if they were just were doing music videos, that's like, how can you even compare?
Very often with Junior Eurovision over the years that it's been going, you've seen Junior Eurovision lead and try something out. And then a few years down the line, it get picked up by the adult competition. I'm wondering if you've seen anything in this year's show that you think, that could be something that might work. You know, maybe is there something that Junior Eurovision has done that you think would work well in adult Eurovision?
Well, I think that number one, the thing that we've been seeing, actually, I think last year was the first year that we got to see that was with the backing vocals. That used to be something that pre-recorded backing vocals was never allowed. Since I started watching Junior Eurovision, they've been allowed to use pre-recorded backing vocals. And I think that that opens up a world of possibilities for different styles of music because you can do different kind of like electronic music and manipulate your vocals more by doing that. And also it gives the opportunity for more interesting staging, I feel like, because you can utilize all of your who used to be backing singers as dancers or, you know, whatever, that you don't have to have this random person that would stand off stage and be the backing singer for the singer. You can kind of have your backing vocals. And I just think that that moves with the times, you know. We will see online voting eventually actually happen in the contest. I think that they probably haven't worked out everything with that because the whole voting for your own country situation, I think, would be maybe more of a problem in
and the voting before the songs have been performed is another weird thing as well.
That's true.
Yeah. And that's what's, I never know how to feel about that because then I feel like half of the voting, I mean, I feel like the majority of the voting probably comes from people before the contest because it only opens up for like 15 minutes during the show. But before the contest, it's open up for like a week. So I feel like you're not actually voting on what you see live on that stage. It works for Junior Eurovision right now, but they definitely need to figure that out before they introduce that to Adult Eurovision.
What are you looking forward to then moving forward to Eurovision? Hopefully it's going to be a normal contest, fingers crossed. What are you looking forward to for next year?
Well, number one, I'm most excited about actually getting to go to the contest, which was what I was supposed to do in 2020. Obviously, we all know what happened then.
Yeah.
And I didn't go for 2021 because nobody knew if it was even going to allow press. That's what I'm most looking forward to. I'm really, really excited to see countries kind of take more experimental approach, hopefully, with their entries. I feel like the current two that we have out maybe didn't really, you know, get the memo. but I feel like with Måneskin winning, I mean, a lot of the times people really just count out any sort of genre that's not like pop music and they immediately think it's not going to do well. And I think that anytime we have a country that goes into the contest that wins or sees a lot of success bringing something more unique, the next year following, we're going to hopefully see more of that, even with like Ukraine doing really, really well, sending a really like cultural different song to Eurovision. I feel like there was a lot of really unique songs last year that ended up doing really, really well. And I hope that that's a sign that, you know, a country can take a risk.
Maxi, thank you so much for coming on the podcast again. It's been great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for your expertise and your keen eye looking over everything Junior Eurovision. And we'll see you in Turin.
Yes, for sure. Oh my God, we'll have to go out for, I was going to say for drinks. I don't drink, but you know, you guys can drink.
I hear they do nice hot chocolates in Turin, so you can have that.
Perfect.
Okay. Oh, it's lovely as always to talk to Maxie, so full of vigor and so full of expertise about Eurovision and Junior Eurovision. And if you want to talk to us about Junior Eurovision, excuse me, and sorry, I just
are you all right?
No, I just got so, you know, like when you just happen to get something in your throat and like there's,
yeah,
you know.
Sure.
And it just happened then. But you know what? I'm a professional. I can just continue on with it. But
yeah, no one's noticed.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, they will notice it because you won't edit this out. Thanks for that, Martin. But if you are a fan of Junior Eurovision, did you watch it? Did you agree with the result? Do you think Armenia deserved to win? Did you think Poland should have won or France? Who do you think should have won? Do get in touch with us. And there's many ways you can do this. You can do it on our Instagram page, Nullpoir Podcast on Instagram, or we're also on Twitter at Poir Null. Send us an email if you want to tell us a bit more of your thoughts about Junior Eurovision or Turin as well. You know, if you know a bit about Turin, where should Maxie go if she doesn't want to drink? Let us know all your thoughts about Eurovision 2022. You can email us at nullpoirpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts about everything Junior and Eurovision.
Next time, the next podcast will be coming out on Christmas Day, and we're very excited about this.
We're at Christmas Day already.
I know, it's going to be our Christmas Day episode, and we're going to do something that we did last year, and we had a lot of fun doing it, and so we thought we're going to do it again. We're going to do a kind of end of the year Christmas Eurovision quiz. So some of the guests that have featured on this podcast over the last 12 months will be setting us a Eurovision question. It's likely to be impossible that we won't be able to answer it, but maybe you will if you know a bit more about Eurovision. It's going to be really good fun. So join us on Christmas Day for that in the next episode of Nullpoir.